Welcome back. Welcome back to another opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth, to reflect upon His word, His will, and His way for us as we give Him honor and glory by hearing His word and thinking about His will for us. Tonight I will continue preaching and covering scriptures that relate to being victorious in Jesus Christ. On this morning, I gave my lesson title, Thanks Be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. So we will touch off in that area tonight as well. But before we get into some of the scriptures that I have selected for us to reflect upon and read and think about as we worship God in spirit and in truth, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And this account will be about Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, Jesus had healed a leper. He had met a centurion and healed that centurion's servant. And he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And he talked about discipleship, starting at verse 18. And then in verse 23, we find a text that I would like to share with us tonight. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And a disciple is a follower of someone. And these are Jesus' disciples because they're following him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Let's pause there for a second. Now you reflect upon it, visualize what's happening. They're on a boat. His disciples are with him. Jesus was very popular, yet his disciples wanted to be close to him. They followed him, tells us in verse number 23. And sometime while Jesus was on that ship, a great tempest or storm in the sea arose, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So Jesus was really asleep. The waves are, if they're covering the ship, it's pretty serious. And look at the reaction of the disciples. His disciples came to him. That's a lesson for us. When we have turmoil in our life, we should go to Jesus. They came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now that passage, as I was driving to work one day listening to the old school CD, I think some of our young people, we don't listen to CDs anymore. So the Bible on CD, and that passage resonated in my mind. And I thought about some points that how it applies to our life. Jesus, let me rephrase it. We are in the ship with Jesus, and we still going to have what? Storms. But if Jesus is in the ship, should we be, as in verse number 26, should we be fearful? No. Fear can denote a lack of faith. Not always. It's good sometimes to be very fearful, especially if you're doing the wrong thing. But when you're doing the right thing and you're in the right place and you're with the right person, Jesus, should you be fearful? No, Jesus was in the ship, but they were fearful. And how did Jesus describe them? O ye of little faith. Okay, so sometimes our faith, we got faith and we believe in God and Jesus, but sometimes our faith is little. But nevertheless, let's move on. Now, when we talk about victory, when Jesus is in the ship, we don't have to worry. We're already victorious because we are in the what? Right place. At the right time with the right person, which is Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we continue our lesson from this morning and from Bible study, in that lesson, I covered a few verses in chapter 15, but I want to go back and make sure I emphasize some verses that amplify the topic about victory in Jesus. Now, starting at verse number 55 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, let me go up to verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, our memory verse or our lesson topic, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We must go through Jesus Christ for the victory. Not by what we can do, but by what God has done for us. Given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So in that particular passage of 1 Corinthians, Paul reemphasizes that we have, verse 57, victory through our Lord Jesus. And then he encourages and urges the Corinthian Christians, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and your labor is not in vain. And that same passage applies to us as well. So when we talk about, we find here that the word mentioned victorious. And on this morning, I defined what victory meant from Thayer's definition, to utterly vanquish, an enemy or the opposition. Now, when we think about enemies, we covered in our class, we talked about some of the enemies that we have to face. We talked about death being an enemy. And I thought it would be good to share with you the passage, the actual verse that talks about that. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, a few verses up, that in that chapter, Paul made reference to the last enemy in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So death is something that we all must endure if we live long enough on this earth. If Christ doesn't come back before our demise, we must face death. And in order to be victorious in facing death, we must be in Jesus Christ. We must be in Jesus Christ. Another passage that amplifies or encourages us about not that we are already victorious is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, if you're turning in your Bibles. John wrote, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, he makes an interesting point there. Whosoever born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what is faith? Now, we know that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, or somewhere thereabouts. Let's turn over there. I want to make sure I quote that properly. And if you all are... Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And he goes on to talk about those who exemplify faith in their life. But in verse 6 he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, I love to break down, go to various sources to get a definition of certain words that we encounter in the scriptures to share and help us understand what the word means beyond just presentation on the surface. And according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, it had a good definition of faith. Faith is a belief in or confident attitude toward God involving commitment to his will for one's life. Saving faith involves personally depending on the finished work of Christ's sacrifice as the only basis for forgiveness of sin and entrance into heaven. But saving faith is also a personal commitment of one's life to follow Christ in obedience to his commands. So it went on to say that we should be used as instruments for good. So when we talk about faith, that's what we're talking about. Now, as we move further into the message, chapter 5 and 6 of Romans is where we will spend the remainder of our time. And I think it's more so chapter 6 that I didn't get a chance to cover on this morning or doing Bible study that ties in the victorious lesson. What are we victorious over? We know death. And also, our immediate concern is sin. We can be victorious over sin if we listen to and heed and obey the words of God. Now, since God has already made a way for us to have our sins forgiven through Jesus Christ, and that we cannot earn salvation by what we do, then wow, I can just sin. Do what I want. No. Let's listen to what Paul says about that topic, chapter 6 of Romans. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life." He goes on to say in verse number 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." We should not serve sin. Now, we have a choice. We have a choice to be a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness, or a servant of Jesus Christ. And he's going to amplify that. He says, "For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So he's paralleling that to our new life in Jesus Christ. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be dead to sin. Then he says, he doesn't say you'll never have sin in your body. He didn't say you will never sin. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There is a battle. And our battle can be against ourself, our selfishness, our selfish desires, our sin or sin. We may be doing everything right, and it's Satan. Remember, Jesus was out on the water with his disciples, and a storm just came up. Nothing that we've done. But here he's talking about, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Your body, I'm trying to soften this. Your body can lead you away from heaven. Think about your body. It always wants to eat what's bad for it. All right? Sometimes, not always, but it'll eat cake all the time. Banana pudding, it'll eat that every day, and that's not good for you. Steak every day is not good for you. Your mind will get you in trouble. If you follow your mind, somebody made me mad the other day, and I was about to. But when you come to yourself, based on your knowledge of God's word and the Holy Spirit working within you, you say, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to yield to my mind, and I'm not going to yield to my body. Guess what? When we die, guess what we leave behind? Our body and your mind. Because your mind is a, you ever seen your mind in biology where they tell you, you've seen it, right? It weighs so many pounds, and we leave it all behind. We got to be looking past this life to eternity, past this life, because we are all going through death, and we won't be here. So we should not let sin control us. And we say, no, sin, wait a minute. Body, check yourself, because you're going to be here. I'm going to be gone. You're just a vessel by which I exist in this realm. Once your body ceases to function properly, guess what? We're gone. And where is gone? The Bible teaches us where gone is. So we should not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Yielding, we have a choice. As one young person made a good comment, we have choices. But as I was thinking, I was driving in today, there's always a decision. There's always a choice. And there are its consequences of those choices. And sometimes parents, the parents, when they're talking to their children, and sometimes the children don't see it, and sometimes the parent don't see the children's point of view. But as I told the teenage class, I always told them, do you think your mother and your father are telling you this or that because they hate you? No, because they love you and they want what's best for you. You may not see it, but know that they want what's best for you. The same thing with God. He tells us to do that or not to do that because he hates us? No, because he loves us and he knows what's best for us. But sometimes we can't see it at the time. But we should neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Because outside of Christ, we are dead. There's death. We are separated from God spiritually outside of Christ. In the near future, if we live long enough, we're going to be separated from this world through physical death. So we need to prepare now, prepare our minds now to control our thoughts, to control our body, to be instruments of righteousness unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God, the end of verse 13. For sin shall not have dominion over you, verse 14, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law? We are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, physical death, spiritual death, separation from God. And you say, okay, well, wait a minute. That's not too bad. I got to die. Everybody's got to die. I'm be separated from God. That's bad. Because when the Bible talks about being separated from God, it talks about a place of torment. And it also talks about the second death, which will occur after the judgment. So when we die, it's a lot of beginnings are happening. It's just not over, as some people in the world want to say. So verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Careful here. Let's really look at what Paul is writing and how it applies to us as Christians. Being then made free from sin, how? By obeying from the heart that form of doctrine, the teachings of Christ, which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. If we already have the victory, here we have a key, opens our mind that we can continue to be maintained to be victorious by obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which delivers us from sin and frees us from sin. Sin is a bad thing. He goes on to say in verse number 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We die. Proof, prima facie evidence. Is that right, Brother Carlos? Proof that there is a spiritual death. There is physical death that man cannot get around. I don't know how billionaires can't. They die. Millionaires, they die. Thousandaires, there's no such thing as thousandaires. They die. Middle class, they die. Poor, they die. Prima facie evidence that there is an afterlife, that God's word is true. It talks all about death, but we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Verse 22, again, but being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end of the victory, the Super Bowl of life, is what? Eternal life. Ah, that's got to be nice. Eternal life. life. Our way or God's way? God's way. It's got to be God's way. How do we get here? How do we move and have our being? God. How do we exist? God. So it's got to be God's way. In verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I definitely wanted to cover that particular portion and in chapter 6, and time will fail me to continue on into chapter 7, but for your knowledge as you think about, wow, this is some good stuff. When we read God's word and we just reflect upon it. In chapter 13, he talks about the struggle of the two natures. There is a constant struggle between you, yourself, and I. And sometimes you don't want to do what's right in all of us. But the I is saying, no, 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 we know what's right. What was the three? I'm getting messed up. You, me, and I. But sometimes I don't know what me is doing. But there is a struggle in verse 13. I mean, chapter 7, 13 through 25, Paul talks about that struggle. Like I said, time will fail me. And I will close with starting at the top of verse chapter number 8. The life in the spirit, as my Bible is captioned. We're talking about the here and the now. Do we know that we have forgiveness of sins and we have eternal life now? Can we know that? Yes. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your what? Mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth within you. Therefore, my brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Paul really broke it down to us and just told us, we can't follow the flesh. We can't follow our flesh. It's going to be here when we die, and they say, oh, Michael's dead. He was a great Bible Bowl coach. But he dead now. Oh, he looks, no, I told my wife, I said, don't give me a funeral. I don't need it. I'm not here. I'm gone. Your body, our bodies will be here. Don't let your body steal your victory. Amen. Don't let your mind steal your victory. Don't let your body's desires and passions and pleasures steal your victory, because you only have a short time. Maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 70 years, maybe 80 years, but we're going to leave this body behind. So now, you know, don't let the body steal your victory. I've took too much time. The lesson or the message is ours. As always, we have an opportunity to come to Christ to reevaluate our lives, our life rather, our position, our minds, or whether or not we are in Christ, asking forgiveness of our sins. And every time the message of God is preached, we have that opportunity to do so where we sit, or to come forward and ask for help from our brothers and sisters. And now is that time. But I'm at an end to my message, and Carlos is ready to lead us in a song of worship to the Almighty. As Carlos sings, let us also join in to give praise to God.